Hi, I'm Jason.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is Yeet the Press. We're two friends who have a comedy podcast about politics.
We're not pundits, blocks, or beltway insiders. We're just regular people trying to make sense of the news.
And it is fucked.
Welcome back to me.
We missed you guys for a couple weeks.
Yeah, did you guys miss us?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Amanda was out with an injury.
Mm-hmm. But it was like a 7-pound injury, 6-pound injury. I had it excised from my body. I pooped it out.
But since Yeet the Press is the most American of podcasts, we don't have a strong maternity leave policy.
We do not. So I got 2 weeks. I got 2 weeks and I'm back.
Unpaid.
Yeah, unpaid. It's all unpaid, actually, but, you know, none of it is paid.
So, since we last saw you, the president had his sham impeachment trial, which went exactly like we thought it would. There's nothing to even discuss there.
I mean, I gotta say I was a little bit surprised that Romney did vote. What is it? Did he vote to convict or did he vote just to see witnesses? I can't even remember.
No, no, he voted to convict, to remove him from office.
He voted to convict, yeah. I mean, I know we went back and forth a little bit about that. I thought that was, listen, he just got banned from CPAC. They hate his ass now. I know that his state really still supports him, so he's fine. But, you know, as conservatives.
I mean, like, he's not going to get good committee assignments, but I don't think Mitt Romney cares.
No, I can't remember where I saw it, but somebody was like, he finally realized he's never going to be president, so it's fine. So he just went ahead and did the right thing.
I mean, and it wasn't even that brave. Like we're celebrating Mitt Romney like he threw himself on a grenade, but honestly, it's a job he doesn't need.
Mm-hmm, but he can keep it if he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also isn't one of those, I think, personally, those senators that, I mean, he's rich, so he's not one of those senators like Lamar Alexander, which I have a thing to say about him, but who are, like, so afraid that they can't vote the right way, you know, vote the way that's just, because they want to have some sort of lobbying job or career after.
How is Lamar Alexander not black?
Oh, I know, right? That's such a black name. You know, my grandfather's name was Leroy.
Well, I did not know that.
My grandfather's name was Leroy. Here's the thing. Lamar Alexander's like 76, 78. What job are you going to get after you leave, dude?
Walmart greeter.
What? I mean, for real. You really are that worried? I hate these Republicans.
Yeah. So we're recording this on Wednesday, February 12th. Hot on the heels of the New Hampshire primary.
Yes.
And let's pour out a little liquor for our fallen soldiers. Andrew
the
Yang.
Yang Gang. Yang Gang.
R.I.P. We hardly knew ye.
We really did. I just know you were about all the UBI. That's what you was about.
You know what? I don't even know why Andrew Yang is rich. I just know he's rich.
Like, is he rich? I don't know. I don't know. So many people are rich, and I'm always like, how you have money? Where'd you get that money from? Is he a crazy rich Asian?
I mean, he has to be. He's not white, because, you know, sometimes white people are just rich for no good reason, but he's Asian. So there's got to be a reason for it, but fuck if I know.
I don't know why he's rich. Did he go to NYU? I think he went to NYU. I don't know. I read somewhere.
We'll look that up. Also, RIP to Tom Steyer.
And his ties.
Basic-ass Stuart Tartan.
We covered that last time.
I would like to see Tom Steyer dedicate his infinite wealth to paying off restitution for Florida felons. Like, that. Okay. If you want to beat Trump, pay those fees so those people can vote.
You know, that's really... yeah. You know, I read on Twitter, Rick Wilson retweeted somebody who said Bloomberg should take a couple billion dollars and buy up Trump's debt and then call it. And I'm like, that is such a good idea.
Like, what's the point of even being a billionaire if you don't do petty shit like that?
Right? $2 billion, dude. How many billions you got? Lots of billions.
Like 60, like, I think.
Yeah, dude, it would cost you nothing. Just call it, do that, and then call him on that debt. Like, God, that would be, use your money for that, Bloomberg, you racist asshole.
Yeah, so I don't understand the appeal of the Bloomberg candidacy, but that's also because I know who Mike Bloomberg is and was.
Right.
But, like, he's polling in the 20s in some southern states, even amongst black voters.
What? I did not know that. That's insane.
Yeah, no, come Super Tuesday, Bloomberg is actually going to be maybe not a threat, but at least a mild annoyance. I wouldn't be shocked if he comes out with a state.
That's crazy. That's crazy. He's an oligarch and he bought his way into this.
And
nobody is saying that, but he is.
It's the most remarkable thing to me is that when we talk about the Bloomberg campaign, people just gloss over the fact that he was literally the Republican mayor of New York City.
Right. That was who he was first. He was the Republican mayor. Then he was was he the Democratic or independent?
He was an independent in one of his three terms, which, by the way, he basically bought himself a third term. There were term limits.
He did. Do you remember Rudy Giuliani tried to get a third term and everybody was like, no, we don't think so. And then somehow Bloomberg got a third term, himself a third term.
Well, if I remember correctly, New York didn't have term limits. And then there wasn't a city council, there was a referendum. So the people actually voted for term limits, which stopped Giuliani from getting a third term. Because I think Ed Koch had like 75 terms.
Oh, right. Yeah. He died in office, right? That's how many terms he had.
I think. But did he lose the primary to Dinkins? Who gives a fuck? Like this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like
1990 New York politics. Yeah. 89 even. But anyway, yeah. So while Bloomberg was in office, even though the people voted by referendum for term limits, city council voted to repeal term limits. And that's why Bloomberg was able to get a third term.
That's what it was.
Yeah. But yeah, Bloomberg, for those of you who don't know, is a heaping sack of racist shit.
Yes, he is. Who, did anybody listen to that soundbite?
Where he was like, you? The one where he's like, you have to arrest more black and Latino men. Just Xerox the description.
Insane. He was like, all the crime comes from, like, was it 15 to 26 year olds is what he said or something? And they're all in the minority neighborhoods. That's what he said. Just completely ignoring all the crime that happens in all the white neighborhoods. All the drugs that get done. I mean, come on.
It's so racist. And then he's come out in the last day or two and said that he apologizes for his role in Stop and Frisk. And, you know, he changed his mind and cut it back. No, like, he was literally ordered by the courts to stop and frisk. And he fought the court order.
Yeah, he didn't come to that conclusion on his own. When was that clip from? Do you know?
2015.
Okay, so that was, what, 5 years ago? Give me a break, dude. Give me a break.
But why are we even talking about him? See, he has found a way to buy his way onto our show.
Mm-hmm, that motherfucker. Bloomberg, if you're listening, come on here so we can slap you. Yeah, come on. Tell you to get off the fucking stage.
Either that or hit me up on Cash App.
Venmo me some money, man. I got some bills.
So yeah, in New Hampshire... Mm-hmm. In the showdown between the candidates that actually matter, mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders ran away with the state.
He did.
Like he won Iowa. And this is a good thing. This is not unexpected. He won New Hampshire in 2016.
Yes. Did you see that clip from MSNBC where they asked this voter why she voted for Bernie? And she was basically like, because you guys kept attacking him.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's so good, dude. She's this older lady, and she's just basically like, the more and more the media attacks him, the more and more I was like, I think I got to vote for Bernie. Then they just somehow find a way to just belittle his accomplishments.
Do they, though? I mean, like, I am extremely online, and I hear people talking about how Bernie doesn't get the coverage. And yet
he doesn't.
And yet all the talk is about how he doesn't get the coverage. So it's there. Unlike, yes, say, Elizabeth Warren.
I know she's where it's way worse for her.
Who doesn't exist anymore.
I think that it's turned around. He does get the coverage now. I think there was a period of time within the last couple of months where they wouldn't talk about him. They wouldn't mention him. They would talk all around him, and they wouldn't. And I'm not talking about opinion pieces. Opinion pieces obviously always talked about Bernie. I'm talking about, like, just straight news coverage. They just would not talk about how he was doing or his voters or how people felt. Now I think it's Warren. They're just ignoring her big time.
And it showed. I mean, she dropped off so much between Iowa and New Hampshire. She ended up finishing fourth with half the votes of Amy Klobuchar. Amy Klobuchar fucking lapped her.
How is that? Like, Amy Klobuchar is fine. She is fine. She is a standard neoliberal, like, politician that's in the DNC. Like, she's fine, but, like, she's, I don't know, dude. I can't. Who does she excite?
Amy Hope.
Who's Klobuchar's, excited about her?
Her entire platform can be summed up as, no, we can't have nice things.
Seriously.
Like, that's literally it.
We can't get that done. That's her whole platform. That can't get done.
Yeah, I'm running to just not do shit.
And you know what? Honestly, I know a lot of people say, oh, all of the nominees have some sort of different path to universal health care. I don't believe her that she would do it. I don't believe that she would do it. She doesn't. It doesn't feel like to me that she really actually believes in universal health care. It feels to me that it's a talking point for her that she's never going to really follow through. Do you know what I mean?
And I totally get that. And although she's not as bad as Pete Buttigieg, who is just like always literally caping for insurance. Like, who the fuck likes insurance companies?
I don't know, dude. He does.
I think Pete Buttigieg is one of the few people who genuinely, genuinely thinks insurance companies are good.
And that they do good things. I don't know, man. He gets more and more robotic to me. More and more, like, programmed.
Oh, he is such, like, the Manchurian candidate. He's this human LinkedIn. He's just a resume.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That Biden ad against him last week was brutal. If you didn't see it, it was basically like comparing their records, and it was like, Biden helped get Obamacare done. Pete got, like,
installed decorative lights under bridges.
It's so funny. I'm like, oh man, those are the kind of ads they need to do against Trump in the general. They better fucking do them. They better not hold back, because those Republicans, they're not going to hold back.
Can I put on my woke hat for a minute?
Yes.
So, I loved that Biden Buttigieg attack ad. I thought it was pretty hilarious. After, like, my 50-second watch, I was like, this has some weirdly coded homophobic shit in it.
Really?
Yeah, like, two of Pete's accomplishments that they were lambasting.
Were decorative,
yeah. Ooh. Decorative brick, decorative lighting.
Do you think that's purposeful, or do you think that's just, like, accidental? Oh, man.
I don't know. It just made me feel a little bit icky after a while.
Did you see from the Iowa caucuses, there was this one clip of this woman. I think I sent it to you. Did I send it to you?
Oh, the one who was caucusing for Pete but didn't know he was gay?
It's like, how did you not know that? Also,
she looked like Peppermint Patty.
She did look like Peppermint Patty.
But I don't know. Maybe that's what people look like. Have you been to Iowa?
I've never been. Wait. I might have done a show there. I don't know. I did a bunch of shows in the Midwest, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago on a college tour. And, like, I don't know.
So, I have never I've never visited Iowa or New Hampshire. And I'm not sure why they're relevant. And I say this as someone who has lived in states that border Iowa and New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And I've just never
Illinois
driven.
Illinois and Massachusetts, right?
Yeah. And I don't understand why these states with these tiny, overwhelmingly white populations have such a huge say in our democratic process.
I don't know either. I read something earlier, I can't remember, and this never even crossed my mind, but maybe this is a better idea. Like, do all the primaries on one day.
I've been talking about this for years. Why is there not a national primary day?
Do a primary on one day, and then everybody votes, and that's what it matters.
I kind of think that if we had a national primary in 2016, Trump would not have been the GOP nominee.
No, because he gained, like, steam and, like, gained momentum every time he did a primary, and then people were like, he kept just picking people off.
Right, and candidates like, say, Jeb Bush could have potentially won California had they been on the ballot in California, but they were gone by that time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of things that the way they do, and you know, there's no reason why the DNC can't do it that way. There's no laws in the Constitution that says that it has to be done this way.
No, and recently states have moved. Like this year, California moved up to Super Tuesday.
Okay.
Because why should the biggest state not have more of an impact?
Why shouldn't they be first, dude? Why shouldn't they be first? Tell me why. They're a huge state. They're diverse. Same with, like, maybe New York. I don't know. New York's got a lot of white people, though, too. But California is, they're huge. It's like its own little country.
And in a lot of years, or prior to this year, some of the most viable candidates aren't even there for Californians to vote on.
Yeah. I'm also like, all these states, this is also a beef I have with the general election, but all these states get ignored because, like, it always comes down to, like, 30,000 people in bumfuck state that they're the ones that decide who the president is.
No, it's true. So, anyway, New Hampshire happened, and Bernie won, Pete came in second, Klobuchar third, and Warren came in a distant fourth, and Joe Biden no longer exists.
Bye, Biden.
Poof. Vamos.
He's gone. Oh, poor Biden.
But I finally...
not really.
Finally came to an understanding of why Liz Warren can't win and why she's not a viable candidate.
Tell me what you think. Because I saw somebody say something online. We talked about this. What's your reasoning?
So, Liz Warren is a left-wing candidate. She is, ideologically speaking, on par with Bernie Sanders. There is not a big difference on the left-right axis between the two of them. But she is an establishment candidate.
Yes.
An establishment politician. So she does not, because she's a leftist, and her policies are actually radical by American standards. Pretty much every social democracy in the world has them. But
yeah, they're not that radical in the world, on the world stage.
At all. But by U.S. standards, they're fairly radical. And you can't be radical and establishment. Because the rest of the establishment is like, no, we're not going that far. That's a bridge too far. And the people who are looking for a revolution don't trust you because you're the establishment.
That's actually a really good analysis. Because if you think about it, the establishment, the DNC hasn't really gotten behind her. They haven't gotten behind her probably because of that. And they haven't gotten behind Bernie because he's not part of the DNC. He's not a Democrat.
Right. And a big part of Bernie's appeal, is yes, his policy. That I'm not going to discount Bernie's policy, but it's the fact that he is the anti-establishment candidate.
Right.
I mean, he's a populist, and Liz Warren was never going to have that. And I think being an establishment radical is a recipe for fourth place.
Right. It sucks, too, though, because she's actually done some things within the establishment that are, Trump has kind of destroyed the agency that she found it? No. Did she found
She was
it?
Instrumental. The Consumer Protection Finance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was instrumental in getting that going, which was a good thing until Trump came along. And I know she's very informed and, like, progressive about student debt. I know you don't like her platforms for that.
I know I do. I am not anti-student loan forgiveness. I just feel that it has to come secondary to free tuition.
Sure.
We will see. South Carolina is coming soon, and it's the first real primary in a state that has people of color. Yeah.
Man, what do you think? What do you think is gonna happen? Because Biden's gone. What happened? He gone. Is he still counting on South Carolina? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think. I read today that Liz Warren is pulling her ad money out of South Carolina.
Oh, so she gave up in South Carolina too.
Although her campaign spends less by percentage on TV ads than any of the campaigns. They don't really believe in TV, but pulling all of their TV ad money out of the state says they're just going to concentrate on Super Tuesday to me.
They're just like, fuck it. So I guess it's going to be between Bernie and Pete, and we know how black people feel about Pete.
Always trust black people. If black Seriously. People don't fuck with a candidate, you should not.
I mean, listen, black people are the base of the Democratic Party. You got to trust them. You got to trust them. I mean, I can't see them going for Pete. Who goes for Pete? I don't know anybody in real life that likes Pete that's like, he's my candidate. Like, who?
You know, I talked to a friend who holds public office somewhere up in New England.
Okay.
And he was telling me that his constituents, mostly white suburbanites, love Pete. He can't go anywhere without people talking about Pete.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Is it because he's so mayo? He's like so white bread and so like bland.
There is a certain subset of liberals with air quotes who just love the politics of civility.
Ugh.
And Pete is the civil, respectable candidate.
Mm-hmm. He's the yes, ma'am, no, sir. It's funny. Somebody had this analysis. I'm sorry, guys. I still can't remember things. I have a newborn now. Now it's not that I'm pregnant. It's that I have a newborn and I'm not sleeping. But somebody said online God, who was it? He's like a boomer and a millennial, like, skin.
Oh,
and I'm like, yeah, that is totally him. He is totally a boomer, but he's a millennial.
Pete Buttigieg, if you're listening,
uh-huh,
please come on the show.
Yeah, we would love to talk to you.
I would love to have you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. Okay. See how that plays out.
If you're listening.
Catch his fade. So, the other big story that you missed us for was the president being acquitted. And since his acquittal, he has become emboldened and is on a scorched earth retaliation campaign.
Who would have ever saw that coming? Who would have ever thought that would happen? I mean, not Susan Collins.
No, not at all. She thought he would have learned from the impeachment.
Yeah, I know. Dude. I told you this before, but I can't believe how quickly, I mean, literally it was a week ago that he was impeached. Who's talking about it?
Nobody. No one is talking about
Nobody
it.
Nobody talking about
crazy.
It.
It's crazy.
It's insane. It was a week ago, guys. A week ago.
He was on trial.
Literally, they voted a week ago. Anyways, so now he's like... Apparently all these senators went to him and were like, please don't fire these people. They're going to leave on his own. And he's like, gave him the middle finger and was like, fuck you, I'm firing them.
Yep.
Things are bad.
The president fired EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland.
Right.
A man who literally donated $1 million to the Trump inauguration.
That's insane. And he's like, bye, bitch. And Sondland apparently was going to leave on his own. And, you know, the Republicans were like, from what I understand, they were like, hey, don't fire him. We need his money. We still want his money. Let him leave on his own. Nope.
He also fired Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
And his brother.
His brother did not testify, was not involved in the impeachment at all.
At all.
You know what I think?
What?
Trump didn't know which was which.
Probably.
He's like, just fuck them. Let the chopper spray both of them.
Yeah, they got the same last name. They're gone. Oh my God. And also the I don't know if you read about this one, the woman who was in the, I think she worked at the OMB. She worked wherever the money was, and she was the, she wasn't even against Trump. This was back in the summer, but she was the one on emails who was like, we have to make sure we do this legally. Let's give the White House like enough room and get them what they want, but let's do this the right way or whatever. She kept, she didn't pump the brakes on anything really, but she was just like very cautious about everything. She got canned too. That was like yesterday.
And he also retaliated against the entire state of New York.
Right, with the traveler thing, right?
Yeah. So Homeland Security has suspended all trusted traveler applications for residents of New York State. The reason for this is that New York State passed a law that allowed undocumented immigrants to receive driver's licenses and refused to share immigration status of its driver's license holders with federal agencies, which is 100% illegal. Sorry, 100% legal. States cannot be compelled to enforce immigration law because that is the purview of the federal government. There's a whole goddamn amendment about that. It's a 10th. Look it up.
Okay. All right. Look at you. All right. All right, then.
But you're talking about. So the whole thing about like the sanctuary states not cooperating, like they don't have to. It is not their job.
Right. He doesn't care. What does Trump care? He does what he fucking wants to do.
Mm-hmm. So the trusted traveler programs that are most familiar to people are like Global Entry.
Right.
But there are a couple others. There's one called FAST, which is for truck drivers crossing the northern and southern borders. And
that's
Nexus.
Gonna affect... Wait, come on. Truck drivers? I feel like they are Trump supporters.
And this is the big one. Nexus, which is for crossing the Canadian border. I cross the Canadian border relatively frequently. So once or twice a year, I drive to Toronto because I live 5 hours away. And those bridges at Buffalo and Niagara Falls pass a lot of trucks.
Yeah.
And there are lanes, expedited lanes, for people who've been cleared in these trusted traveler programs.
Kind of like Easy Pass, but for like people.
Exactly. People who have been pre-screened. We know you're not a threat, so you get to go through this fast lane.
Right. Oh, man, the traffic is going to get so bad there.
Working class people are going to lose their jobs. If you have a delivery route from Buffalo to, you know, Hamilton, Ontario, every day, and that route now takes you an hour longer in each direction because you can't go in the fast lane because you're a New York resident.
Dude.
People are going to lose their fucking jobs.
Do you know how crazy, like, truck drivers, their timetables that they're like deadlines that they have to make or they lose their jobs? Like, that's why, like, what was it? What's his name? The comedian who got hit by a truck.
Oh, Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan. God damn. I had his face in my head. Tracy Morgan got hit by a truck driver who was driving for Walmart who was so tired and wasn't allowed to pull over and sleep. And he got hit by that guy because he had to make his deadline. You think that shit's not going to happen more often? Of course it is.
Oh, I think so. Or companies in that Great Lakes area that currently employ, say, New York-based trucking companies for those runs are going to hire Canadian-based trucking companies for those runs.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's going to cost Americans their jobs because of a petty beef with New York State.
Oh, man. Well, I don't understand these voters who support Trump even when it hurts them. It hurts them so fucking much, but you know what? They just want to own the libs, I guess.
That is it.
Did you see that Daily Show clip from Jordan Klepper went to a MAGA rally, and it was in Iowa, and he basically just, man, you're watching it, and you're just going, I'll send it to you. We'll probably cut this out, but I'll send it to you. It's just, like, so funny, dude. All these people were just, like, he basically was, like, you know, they just say the talking points. There's this one lady that was, like, he was, like, He didn't do anything wrong. Read the transcripts. And Jordan Klepper's like, did you read the transcripts? Well, no, I didn't. But you should read the transcripts. I don't know.
Speaking of reading the transcripts, Trump is also saying now that Roger Stone didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, shit. Yeah, and now he's, the four prosecutors stepped down.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, the prosecutors in Roger Stone's trial recommended a sentence of 9 years.
Not that much. I know it's the heaviest sentence any of these people have gotten, any of his associates have gotten, but really, not that much.
Mm-hmm. And DOJ intervened, and Trump has confirmed that it was Barr in a tweet, that Barr stepped in and pressured them to lower their sentencing requests, and all four prosecutors on the case quit.
Crazy. What's going to happen, dude? Are we about to turn into a dictatorship for real?
Yeah. No, it's coming. Because right? Congress abdicated their duties. They told him that they would not hold him accountable, and he could do whatever he wants, and he's going to do whatever he wants now.
And when he loses, Barr's going to say, well, we have to suspend, if he loses, the general, Barr's going to say, we have to suspend because there's been voting irregularities. Russia interfered. That's what they're going to say. Russia interfered.
And no, it'll be Ukraine this time.
Maybe it'll be Ukraine. Who knows? And they'll say, he'll say, I have to stay in office until we figure this out. And then that's that. What happens then? Really, what happens?
Those of us with the means leave this country.
Okay. What are you going, New Zealand, where all the billionaires are going?
Is that where the billionaires are going?
Oh, hell yeah. They're building bunkers in New Zealand, big time. There's like a whole like cottage industry for billionaires who build like underground bunkers in New Zealand.
Is that where they did Lord of the Rings?
It is, yeah. It's beautiful there. They're going to love it. Those billionaires are going to love it over there.
It's basically like Australia, except without the animals that can kill you, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Seems real white, though.
It is, probably. No, there's do they have aboriginals in New Zealand?
Are they Maori?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well,
wait, asshole of the week? Are we doing asshole?
Oh yeah. Let's do asshole of the week.
Who's your asshole of the week?
I hadn't prepared one.
But you know what?
I'm gonna go with Snoop Dogg as my asshole of the week.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Tell everybody why.
Since we last met, NBA legend and rapist Kobe Bryant passed away.
Ooh, you went there. It's been a couple weeks, so it's time to go there, right?
Yeah, I mean, the rape was 2003, so that's not too soon.
Yeah, that's 17
years
ago.
Yeah, we're way past.
No, too soon after his death. I mean, everybody online is like, don't say anything bad about his rape. He just died. It's like, okay, well, he did rape somebody.
The death was tragic in that, you know, 9 people lost their lives, including several children. And, you know, Kobe Bryant was a loving father and husband, and he meant a lot to a lot of people.
He did.
He also was a rapist, and that's not something that we can ignore, and is a very big part of his legacy. I mean, so much of Kobe's identity is tied into his post-Colorado rape case heel turn. Like, that entire Black Mamba nickname, that was him embracing being the bad guy.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Or his changing his number from 8 to 24, that's all part of post-Colorado Kobe.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, it's very, very tied into the other parts of his legacy. So even from a basketball standpoint, we have to talk about it. But just from the standpoint of humanity, like, this man committed a sexual assault.
I mean, this
fundamentally changed a woman's life.
Exactly. And this is the thing, is like, we just don't value women or what happens to them. We really don't. And, you know.
So how does this tie into Snoop Dogg being asshole of the week?
All right.
WNBA legend Lisa Leslie gave an interview with Gayle King. And Gayle King asked about how Lisa felt that Kobe's rape allegations impact his legacy. And Lisa Leslie said she doesn't think about that at all, and we shouldn't look at that part of his life.
How does a woman say that? That's a woman who maybe never got raped. I don't know.
I mean, internalized misogyny and hero worship can impact everyone.
That's true.
But there was this huge backlash amongst basically fucking meatheads who were like, Gayle King is only trying to tear a black man down. She and Oprah didn't attack Harvey Weinstein like this.
Right, I remember and that.
And Snoop Dogg just like went off on this tirade.
His video is so weird. It was like he just woke up or something. It seemed like he just woke up. He just rolled out of bed and did it.
Yeah, like, no, and he called her all kinds of bitches. I think he might have threatened her.
It was really, I mean.
And at the end, he shouts out, free Bill Cosby.
Oh, I know, right? There are people who still think Bill Cosby is innocent, dude.
And I mean,
20-some women later.
There is this thing amongst certain black men where they feel, and rightfully so, that black men are persecuted.
For sure.
But they don't want actual justice. They want to be treated the way the powerful white men are treated.
Right.
And they're upset that powerful black men and powerful white men aren't allowed to commit crimes with the same level of impunity. Mm-hmm. And it's so ass backwards.
It is. You know, that's a lot with, like, wealthy, powerful white women, too. They don't actually want to help women. They just want to help themselves so they can act the same way that wealthy white men do.
Yeah. So, Snoop, you're my asshole of the week.
That's a good one. My asshole of the week is my 16-month-old. She got a cold, and she made me sick. She made her dad sick. And there's been obsessive hand-washing and separating of a 2-week-old and a 16-month-old so that the 16-month-old doesn't get the 2-week-old sick, because 2-week-old gets sick, he's got to go to the NICU unit, and that's it. That's all. That's it. You got to go to the hospital when you're that little and you get sick. So that's the asshole. I don't know how she got sick. She got sick. And so she's the asshole of the week. That's
they're germ factories. So guys, if you learn anything from this podcast, it's don't have kids.
Don't have kids, man. I mean, if you want them, think real hard about it. Really, really hard. Think really, really hard.
Yeah, just like make friends with kids. I mean, make friends who have kids. Don't befriend children, because that's weird.
It's creepy. And when you do, if you really, you're still like, I think I want kids. Go take those kids and have them for like a whole weekend. And then reassess and then say, like, do I still want kids?
Come take my kids for the weekend.
Seriously. Oh, my God. All right. As always, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eat the Press. And
as always, our theme music, Too Cool, is brought to you by the guy Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Creative Commons.
We love you, Kevin. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
All right, guys.
Peace.